Welcome to the Prickly Couch podcast, where three mujeres have real conversations. We'll share our stories and talk about wellness, familias, work, and everything in between in our experiences as Latina women. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our first episode of our second season. Today, it will be a conversation between me and Josie, talking about our practice, Prickly Pear Therapy and Training, and the services that we offer, how we came to be in our approach to providing not only trauma care, but also services for assessment, evaluations, coaching, in this intersection of providing affirmative care. What does that mean? How does that look practically in the room? Unfortunately, this week, when we were scheduled to record, there was a storm that hit our area and affected several of our team members. And so that's why you're getting this quick update from me. We are now all warm, safe, and well. And you will be hearing more from Karen and the rest of our team throughout the season. So enjoy this brief interview, this conversation between myself and Josie, and we will see you again in a couple of weeks. Take care. Okay, so today we wanted to talk about our practice and let you know a little bit more about what is it that we do, how this came to be, the services that we are able to provide, and also who our clients are. We noticed that we had talked about the practice a little bit as this nebulous project that we have on the side. And so we wanted to dive a little deeper into this conversation y luego talk a little bit about what is helpful for our clients. And maybe this is something that you can take and bring on in your own therapeutic space or to your own therapist in case you find it helpful. So let's start with how did our practice start? Josie, do you want to start us with a brief intro?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited that you all are relaunching the podcast for season two, I guess, if officially is what it is. So we started back in 2018. Gabby and I think at that time I was in a position that I was starting to transition out of and was doing research and had a research career and was trying to figure out, you know, where I needed to land, what was some kind of space I needed to, for myself, just help me re-regulate my nervous system and get grounded and just chill for a minute. And working, you know, having gone through PhD program and straight to nonprofit and just like on that grind. I saw it as an opportunity to just take a minute for us to land. And you and I were working together, Gabby, with a research project and had worked together for about over a year or so and doing some research in the community. And we, you know, aligned very much so on our values and being, you know, culturally specific and community grounded and, you know, Dos Latinas and, you know, having both psychologists, which is a rare find también, right? There's very few Latina psychologists. There's very few PhDs, right, in the country. So it was just, you know, we clicked when we started working together in our research and we thought, you know, what if it would be nice maybe to come together and lean into like our clinical aspects of the work that we do. Mm-hmm. You know, as PhDs, we're trained pretty broadly. We can do research, we can do clinical work, we can do assessments, right? And I think we decided let's try to create something where we can have a soft place to land for ourselves. Build this in a way that's aligned with our values. And then I think was a year and a half in, we decided to expand to a group practice and bring other folks in because we saw the need for other Latinx practitioners also needed a place to land so we could just take a minute to breathe in a workplace and a healthy space and to regulate our nervous systems and to like unpack, you know, our own stuff with capitalism and all the things that keep keep us grinding when we're in different work roles, right? And I think that's where we were at the beginning professionally ourselves, was like trying to unpack that and then do all that internalized like academia and internalized like grind culture that comes from capitalism, but also our communities and our culture. We fucking work. That's what we do, right? Like,
that's how we grow.
Work, right?
That's how we heal.
That's how we heal. That's how we survive. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so we came together and we took a workshop and was like, oh yeah, here's a workshop. Let's join this local workshop on a Saturday, right? It was like this other practice here in Austin that hosted it. And it was like a private practice startup or algo así, right?
Mm-hmm. Nuts and bolts.
Yes, a private practice. And it was like a full-day workshop. I remember Robert was with the kids. And we were like, pues, I think we can, this seems, we can do this. So we're like, we're going to do it? Yeah, let's do it. And that same day, we signed a lease on a place. And then we did it. And then here we are.
Yeah, that makes us sound a little impulsive, but it was good impulsive, I think. Oh yeah, because you had seen the building on the way to the shop, and then we saw it. Mm-hmm. We did the whole workshop, and we were like, let's jump into this.
We can do this. So let's call. And I remember us specifically saying, like, you know, because we're Latinas, right? Like we're two Latinas. Like we can do this shit too, right? It's not only mainstream people that can have businesses and practices, and right, like it was important for us. I think also that was a very important part of our decision, was like,
right,
you know, as Latina specifically, we can step into this space and we can also do these things that I think for many have been you know, have been categorized only for mainstream or only affluent people or only particular folks that can own businesses and run their practices. And, you know, from our own experiences, it's all we saw también, right? We're white mainstream folks who were the bosses and the execs or the, you know, the practice owners. And we wanted it to be different. It was very radical in that way también. It was nerve-wracking and
Continues to be every day.
And it continues to be. Pero we jumped into it together. And we have been very intentional about our conversations and the spaces that we develop, not only for our clients, but for our folks that work with us and the other clinicians, or community partners or contractors, or, you know, whoever really is touches our organization. We're very intentional about creating a space that feels affirming in so many different ways, where folks can land and be themselves, be their authentic selves.
And that brings me to my next question of who our ideal client is, right? So we created a practice that was, I think, a labor of love. We talked a lot about how every piece at the beginning was something that we did with our familias, with the comunidad, with people that we knew or ourselves. And a lot of it, it really felt like everybody around us kind of came through to help support the practice, and they still do. And part of our intentionality was to create a safe space where people could show up fully, authentically, unmasked. At the time when we started the practice, we really focused on trauma and culturally responsive care, that intersection, because we had a lot of conversations about where we had been, either personally or professionally, and that there weren't, I'm not even going to say enough, there weren't services for our comunidad in a way that was truly matching what we were seeing on the day to day. So like, we talked about evidence-based practices. We talked a lot about the research spaces that we have been and the way that research was conducted, the way consulting and coaching was done, and the way assessments were done. And it really wasn't meeting the needs of our community in this way that was also collaborative and healing. So we create the space, and then we have people show up. So let's talk a little bit about the people that show up in our practice at these different levels, right? And I would say also a big piece of the practice that you mentioned, Josie, was creating a safe place for other practitioners to land. And so a big part of what we do is provide our team with support and resources and mentorship to be able to heal from the spaces that they're coming from, but also step into their own power, step into their own, and be able to take leadership and take ownership and feel empowered in making those decisions as professionals. And we also support people into creating their own practices and their own spaces or their own opportunities, depending on what they want to do professionally. So in that big umbrella, who would you say that are ideal clients, the people that show up at the door?
Yeah, I think the people that show up at our door and who seek us out, right, who research us, seek us out, are folks who come from a pretty diverse backgrounds, right? They have different intersecting identities. They may have had experiences of feeling excluded either, you know, in our mainstream systems growing up in this country, or, you know, immigrating to this country and then being slapped in the face with what the hell is going on in this country, right? With those experiences in the school systems, in academia, or in their jobs, right? We get a lot of folks who just don't feel like they've been able to be their authentic selves because of these different experiences, system level trauma. Also, folks who've experienced various forms of trauma throughout their childhood and adulthood. You and I have our research experience and our professional experience, or professional how around understanding trauma, domestic violence, sexual assault, right? These different forms and experiences of trauma that we know are very complex. Mm-hmm. And need a specific training and understanding, right, to bring that lens for folks. And so our practice has that expertise, and folks really seek that out, being Latina-owned and bicultural, right, being able, you and I, bilingual, going in and out of Spanish, right, being able to be their authentic selves that way, I think, attracts folks to our practice, and with our practitioners también, they see that same kind of warmth, and that you know, that la cultura, right? You just see folks that look like you, hear like you, sound like you, right? Talk like you, maybe. Of course, we don't represent all the Latino community, but right, in those ways, it can feel affirming. Mm-hmm. We have folks with different, intersecting identities around sexual orientation, right? Gender expression, ability differences, neurodivergence, right? Like all those different, mm-hmm. I think, ways that our identities intersect and experiences that we've had that maybe have made us feel othered, have made us, or just make us feel like, you know, like not right in our own skin, maybe, or feeling like we're having to switch on and off in different environments for different reasons. Folks feel like they have a safe space with us because we focus on that relationship, right? All of our clinicians are relational when we talk a lot about, you know, the research, quote unquote, the research shows that, you know, relationships with a therapist is like fundamental in being able to do any healing work or for any interventions, right, that are used. And so I think the folks that come to us really are looking for that relational piece, that affirming piece, where, like you said, they can unmask, right, in different ways, right? We know masking happens in different regards, but that they can unmask, and then they can have a place where they feel comfortable doing that, feel safe, building that safety to then hopefully maybe translate that a little bit into their own worlds, right? Depending on their situations. I think we have a lot of in terms of like different immigration statuses, we have a lot of diversity in that regard as well. You know, we have folks, I mean, really, I think our practice resembles our mission and values of what we've put out of folks that have these multiple identities and are working. It could even be like an identity around parenting and breaking intergenerational trauma, right? Like really trying to work as a parent to not hand down the trauma that you've been given. And so folks will come for that regard as well, right? What are some other ones I'm missing, Gabby, as I'm talking?
So one of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking was that we were a little nervous about calling ourselves an inclusive and affirmative practice because we felt like that was not a title that we get to give ourselves. We thought that we were just doing trauma treatment, right? Like we were just doing these interventions, and that's the way that everybody was doing it. And I think part of what we got to understand with a couple of years in was that it wasn't, right? A lot of our clients were coming from pretty difficult experiences with other practitioners or with the mental health system. Mm-hmm. Because as anti-oppressive as we want to be, as decolonized as we want to be, we still represent a system. And so they were nervous about engaging in services. They were nervous about disclosing chronic suicidality or different things that or behaviors that were really stigmatized in our community. Mm-hmm. And I will say our practice is when we talk about it, we talk a lot about the Latina community because that's a community we belong to. But I think that a lot of our clients don't belong to the community either. Right. Sometimes they're Latino adjacent, but we work with a lot of folks that are from the Black community, from Indigenous community, intersecting all of those three communities. I think a lot of our clients are non-binary or transgender or figuring it out. And I think recently a lot of folks that are neurodivergent, maybe late diagnosed, or mm-hmm. that their children had been recently diagnosed, and there's a question mark of what does this mean? What does this look like in practical life? What can I do? Am I neurodivergent myself? And how can I advocate for my kids and show up as the best parent that I can be? Because this is pulling out maybe new skills or skills that I don't have. Or at my own neurodivergence or my own trauma or my own dysregulation because I'm struggling. So I think there's also those layers in between. And in having conversations, I think we identified this three elements of our practice, right? Like the very culturally grounded care. And that's a big word to say that we represent our comunidad. We use the values, the language, the slang, the way that we dress, right? Like all of these different things to show up authentically with the people in the room and like really use an approach that is relational where everybody in our practice is trained with evidence-based protocols, but we really have adapted or have grabbed those things that we know are particularly effective for the folks that we work with. And so using a lot of somatic grounding, healing, making sure that our clients are not just working on specific interventions and skills, but really looking at the whole person and what is it that they need to show up authentically in all these different ways and to heal in this comprehensive, holistic way. And then that includes, I think, a big portion of our neuroaffirmative care and then the trauma-informed care and how most folks that are neurodivergent, of course, have experienced trauma. I don't think there's a way that folks get through life being neurodivergent without experiencing trauma. We know that if we are minoritized or racialized, we're also gonna have to or will be exposed to trauma in some ways. And then folks that have experienced that outside of those two, where they've experienced trauma because of other parts of their identities or other experiences, unfortunately. And so being able to provide them with a space that we can talk very openly, provide a lot of education about what trauma is and isn't and how it shows up and a lot of different skills to first and foremost feel safe. Because I think that's such an integral part to healing, right? And we talk about that all the time. If we cannot feel safe, then there's nothing else that we can do at the time. And so we work with a lot of our clients from the time that they contact us to the time that they're in their episode of care with us to build that safety. And we do that through the relationship, through the way that our office is, created, decorated, lit up, the way that our staff presents, it connects with our clients, the way that we show up in the room. I mean, there's a lot of different layers, I think, that go into providing that safety and affirmative care. And talking very openly, I think, about the stuff that happens outside of the room or outside of that, the person, what happens at the environmental level that will impact how that person shows up in the room, right? Like the different things that will, that are part of that person's identity and that are impacted by what happens outside of the room.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, we really work to support each other, and that safety piece is so important. And that really, like what I said, like that relational piece, being embodied and being grounded, right? As, mm-hmm. and that means, like, you know, as clinicians, that's why I think it's important, like you noted, right? We provide mentorship and support and consultation, but we're also having those conversations. I think mm-hmm. they're, you know, the whole, you know, mental health field in general has all of its issues, and is a it's colonized in and of itself, right? And with the colonization, you lose the relational piece, you lose, you know, all these pressures and of time and constraints come on, right? Like there's all these things of ways that white supremacy shows up in our spaces. And us by us being intentional, having these conversations, labeling these, unpacking them ourselves, so then we can support, right? Our clients and unpack with them, label the racism, discrimination, sexism, all the isms, right? Ableism that we experience it oftentimes. Growing up in this country I was never taught this. I wasn't given this language early on. It's not in our school systems at all, right? And so you're fumbling through this world like, what the hell is wrong with me, right? You internalize, mm-hmm. you can internalize these things, but having that critical consciousness perspective and those conversations to raise critical awareness of what it is that's happening to us socially in these systems and these collective mm-hmm. systems that also have a real significant impact on our psychological health, I think is important.
Yeah. And so I think our team is expected to be doing their own work. It's expected to not only be doing the work around, you know, healing and making sure that we understand our impact in the room and the different ways in which we've been impacted by trauma ourselves, but also in decolonizing, in understanding how internalized oppression shows up for us, in how we've been impacted by our environments, and having real raw conversations about it, and education about it, so that we can show mm-hmm. up for our clients in this way that is embodied ourselves, and it is aware. And so we're able to validate and name things sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that's important for folks who are looking for either practices or individual clinicians, right? Like asking questions around like, where do you get consultation? What do you do for self-care, right? Like, mm-hmm. Because our industry, like any industry, burns us the hell out. It's very unhealthy. It's very toxic, right? We're just another workhorse, right? Expected to show up, provide all this service and, you know, see a shit ton of people, right? And, you know, it's very capitalist in that way, right? And so it's important for folks who are looking for clinicians, therapists, practitioners, or practices to ask those questions, right? In terms of, how are you, you know, what is your perspective around, my community, whatever communities, whatever those intersecting identities are, mm-hmm. what is the work that you're doing on your own to, you know, unpack, internalize isms and oppressions, which we all have. What resources do you have, right? To do this work. We do expect a lot of our practitioners in that way, but also we provide that space, right? We're not like, go do all this work alone and then come back and make sure you're ready to see all these clients, right? No. we're very, we, hope to create like where we're available, right, for mentorship and to have these conversations either one-on-one individually, right, over cafecito, right, we're having these conversations and holding space for our practitioners or in consultations. We have bi-weekly consultations, we have seminars where we talk about different intersecting identities and different aspects of that show up and what our clients might be. We have lots of resources in the office and virtual through, I'm thinking just all the things that we have available for folks to be reading and exploring on their own. But we will have sessions where we do, where we are just journaling and unpacking for ourselves. So we'll provide that space, like, please come with your journal. We're just going to have some time for reflection today, right? And so we might pose just some question. Again, it's like providing that space for folks to be able to do that work, not expecting them to carve out all these hours on their own time, to right. do this, right? That's how we provide that space. But then we also do a lot of investing into our own self-care of ourselves and our practitioners. We offer collective care spaces where we have someone coming in and facilitating meditation, yoga, spiritual cleansing, Reiki, right? All these different holistic ways of healing for ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important because one thing that's very important for me is in my own personal values, and I think it's reflective mm-hmm. of our practice as well, is like you walk your talk, right? I've always been very big about that. I don't know if it's like part, I think it's part of like growing up in the barrio, but it was always like, you walk your talk, you show up who you are genuinely, like you, if you're saying one thing, you know, that you're not chismosa, then don't be a chismosa, right? Like, that kind of thing has just yeah. always been with me. Maybe it's my Gemini Gemini, I don't know what it is, but it's very ingrained in me. Walk your talk has always been part of it. And so we are walking our talk. We provide these spaces where if we are having a rough day and we need to take a day off, we're never going to be like, are you sure? Right. It's like, no, you do what you got to do. You got to reschedule folks because whatever, right, is happening in your environment or your home or personal or your own body, right? Sometimes our own bodies are just telling us we need a minute. We need to take a break. Not that we're all perfect at it all the time, but we're a work in progress together.
I love that. Yes, I think we are a work in progress together, and we're really good at calling each other in when we're using our, culturally coping mechanisms of like leaning into work and keeping ourselves busy, and also recognizing that that can also be healthy if we've done it in it's done in this, way where That's we're okay. monitoring ourselves and all that. And so it's good and it's healing in and of itself, I think, to be able to label some of those things and show up fully in our space as practitioners, as team members. I know, for example, right now we had a storm. Some of our members, the members of our collective just don't have power right now. We went through a storm a couple of years ago, and so it all gets activated right now. And so we are flexible about the way that we schedule things, how, reaching out and making sure that people feel supported, just like we would with any community member, right? Client, but colleague, whoever. We show up consistently, I think, in that way.
Yeah, and I think it's like, when you talk about it, it's like, dude, this is like basic.
Right. It sounds like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to know.
I know, we're not supposed to know, but we know from our own personal experiences and our experiences of our colleagues, like it's not the case of what is happening in our field, unfortunately, especially in agencies, especially in nonprofit structures, right? Like, So yeah, we're really working together as a collective to build this space, and so we can show up differently than we have. Maybe in the past in other work environments.
Mm-hmm. Well, just thank you for being here with us. I'm glad that we got to talk about what Prickly is and go more depth into what we do. And so we're grateful that you're here. And that you're listening to us too. Take care, y'all.